Okay, today's daf is Eirvin daf mem ches. Eirvin mem ches, as we continue in the fourth parak of Maseches Eirvin, discussing different issues of Eiriv Trum, and the last issue that we have been talking about are Kalim. Not only are people Kona Shvisa on Erev Shabbos at Ben Hashmashas when Shabbos starts, and not only are sleeping people possibly Kona Shvisa, that was the Machlokas Tanam that we had, but also Kalim, and not only Kalim, what about Kalim of non-Jews? That was the last discussion on Mem Zayin Mabez. Meaning, if somehow on Shabbos I come in contact, it comes into my Rishus, a Kli that had been in non-Jews, or in a non-Jew's Rishus when Shabbos started, am I allowed to take that Kli wherever I want? Or is it subject to the Tchum of the non-Jew? So that's a Machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel on yesterday's daf said Chefzi Hefker are not Kona Shvisa, meaning wherever they are, whenever they're picked up by me or by anyone, then they are be able to be taken wherever the Bailim, new Bailim, could take them. And Rabbi Yochanan, the last line that we read was that Chefzi Nachri are Kona Shvisa. And this is what we pasken in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Simon Tuf Aleph in Shulchan Aruch says, in 401, Simon Tav Aleph, Mishi Yashan Baderech. First, he talks about the regular halacha in the Mishnah from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Mishi Yashin Baderech v'Chashchalo. If somebody is sleeping when Shabbos started, Kana Shvisa Bimkomo V'Yishlo Paimam Alucha Ruach. A sleeping person is Kana Shvisa, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says. Even if I don't have any positive da'as, I automatically get 2,000 amos. I'm not stuck with only four. V'dafka ba'adam, mishum, but only by an adam, mishum, da'hoav, im haya ne'er, haya kone, yashina makone. If you remember, it's the middle svar that we mentioned a couple of days ago. But this only applies by a person, because a person could wake up. But aval chefse hefker, inam kone shvisa. So maybe it's like a limited rabbana, not like a biyochan benuri. Chefse hefker are not kone shvisa. V'heim karagli azocha ben tchila. And if there's an object which was not owned when Shabbos started, so then whoever picks it up has the rights. He could take it wherever he could walk. Aval chefse eino Yehudi konin shvisa. Even though chefse hefker are not konin shvisa, because it's owned by whoever's going to pick it up, but chefse eino Yehudi are konin shvisa bim koman, in their place. Aval bisha ba'aleim labane shvisa ninu. Even though their owners have nothing to do with Shabbos, the Lamanei Shvisa, what do these Kalim have anything to do with? They're going to be Kona, Shvisa, Tchum. They're owned by a non-Jew. Doesn't matter. Why? Gzeira, Chefse, Eino Yehudi, Atu Chefse Yisrael. As our Gemara says right here, make a Gzeira. Going to get mixed up with these Kalim and those Kalim. So that is why we say all Kalim, even of a non-Jew, are Kona Shvisa when Shabbos started. The Bir Halacha here has the suffix. I think we might have mentioned this yesterday also. What does it mean that the Chefzi of an Eino Yehudi are Kona Shvisa? What if they're in one spot and their non-Jewish owner is in another spot? So who do they? What do they go by? Because a non-Jew has nothing to do with Shabbos. So even if you want to say Shvisha Gzeira, so who does it go by? V'af the Shvisa so'akum atzmo haya b'makam acher rachog, says the Bir Halacha, even if a non-Jew, let's say a non-Jew is in a different city, and he left his stuff in the first city, and somehow on Shabbos that comes into the Jew's possession. Mashma delo azlinan basrei leesar lazuza kelim. You don't go follow him. Kima de beemes in lakum shvisa. Because really, the guy has nothing to do with it. Virak basar hanachas akelim azlinan. Kin mashma lachor milashad arama mamachaber. It sounds like the chafatzim go by themselves because they had the word bim koman. Chefzi hefker kodesh shvisa bim koman. Bim koman of who? Of the people? Of the non-Jew? Doesn't sound that way. Sounds like of the kelim. Avchein kadva tosa shabbos. Ela shekasav demeagos ashri b'shemar zerua. Mashma tahari heim karagli akum lagamre. V'yemkein ima akav amakam rachok. Asur lozas ab kelim bim koman. If they're somewhere else. Avchein be'emes in shum mashma'os bagos ashri. I don't think what the people say in bagos ashri is really meduyak. So lemaisa the Bir Halacha likes the shita that it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, and that is, you go by where the Kalim are. Because what does a guy have to do with Shabbos? It just has to do with the Kalim, Atu Gzeira Durabanan. Okay, so that's a Machlokas, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So we continue now. About 8 lines up from the bottom on Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Hanhu Dichri Da'asu L'Mavrachta. There was a certain number of Dichri, rams, that came to Mavrachta. Certain place. Shara luhu Rava, le b'nei mechuza, le mizvin minayu. Rava allowed the b'nei mechuza, who were visiting in Mavrachta, So he allowed them to buy these rams. You know, they might have come from outside the tchum, right? It was Yantif. You're allowed to buy things on Yantif? It's a Durabanan to do a kinyan and mekach umemkar and Shabbos and Yantif. So it must have been, in a way, that was mutter. Maybe they didn't mention this. These are the last, if you remember, the second to last parak in Masecha Shabbos discussed how are you allowed to buy things on Shabbos. You don't mention a price, and you just go over, and credit, and you don't mention a measurement. So it must have been done in that way. So he allowed the Bnei Mechuzah to buy, because he obviously wasn't worried about any tchum issue. Amale Ravina LaRava, my daitcha. Why are you muttering? Because you learned the top of Memzayin Mabez in Ervin? Because you allowed, you possibly like Shmuel, you quote heard from Shmuel, Vashmuel Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan argues on Shmuel. V'yamar Rav Chiya bar Av and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chefsi Hefker, Konin Shvisa, Gzeira Bailam Denach Riyot Bailam the Israel. Rava! How could you be paskening like Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan argues? So Rava says, really? I didn't know. Hadar Amar Rava. So Rava changed his psak. He didn't know, or he didn't know that was the halacha. Not clear. Hadar Amar Rava, Lizdavnu L'Bnei Vavrachta. Okay, he changed it. You're not allowed to take it. You're not, the Bnei Mechuza aren't allowed to buy it, but he allowed them to sell it to the people who were there, to the Bnei Mavrachta. Why? To Kula Mavrachta Liditu Kedal Ramas Damya. Anybody who's here, even the people visiting, as long as you're in this city, it's like Dalai Lama's. Rashi quotes like Rabbi Gamliel, back in the first Mishnah in the parak Adav Memal from Abayz, where Gamliel says if you go outside your tchum and you're deposited into another tchum, so then you're allowed to consider that all Dalit Amos. So here too, that is similar, and therefore as long as you're in the city, even if it came from outside the tchum, one is allowed to take part in it. Rashi says, "Kitzam Masisan, Holy Chuli Racheres on Asnuhu Badir." Good. So that's we see even Halacha Lamaisa that we are paskening and following Rabbi Yochanan over Shmuel. Good. Second to last line. Tani Rabbi Chia, Cherem Shebein Tchumei Shabbos. What's a Cherem here? We're going to go with Rashi's pshat. Rashi says it's some type of fish net. It was a fish net. There was a body of water in between two tchumen. Rashi says, last couple of skinny lines, Mitsudas dogim umafsik bimayim bein beis tchumen shal beis ayaros. Imagine you have two cities, and the tchum of the two cities end in a water, like a lake. And there's a lake in between the two cities, and the tchum goes straight in the middle. But the question is, are people in each city allowed to take from the water in this area? Because I'm going to pick up water from my side, but this water from my side 3 minutes ago might have been on your side of the tchum. And am I bringing water now from outside the tchum and lifting it up? So that's the issue. So
what's the net?
Chayim, you'll see. Chayim, shebeit tchume Shabbos, tzarech mechisa shal barzel apsiko. The fish net is not good enough to be able to be mafsik, to create a hefsik between the two tchumen. Rather, you need a, literally, mechisa shal barzel, a big metal wall. You need a strong wall, right? So the water doesn't go from one tchum to the other tchum, because the water of one tchum is kona shvisa bimkomo, and it's nigrar after the city. It's like the kalim of the people of this city. So they can't go outside the tchum. And if they went outside the tchum, it's muksa, it's not allowed to benefit from it. And therefore, you're worried that the water got mixed in, and therefore you can't take water from this area, unless you put up a wall that is metal. Whenever the Gemara wants to give an example of a very strong wall, like the if you daven properly, even the mechitza shel barzel won't be able to be mafsik between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the lashon that's always used, mechitza shel barzel. That's the language for a very strong wall. So you need a mechitza shel barzel, said the Braisa that Rabbi Chia quoted. Mechayech alei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Yosi Chanina either smiled or he laughed. He didn't take it so seriously, this Brisa. So they said, "My time come achayich." Says, "What are you laughing about? What do you not like about this Brisa? Right? You didn't just argue on it; you like mocked it. So what do you not like about it? Makam achayich ilema mishum detani la Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri la chumra. Is it because that this Brisa held like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that chafsi hefker kones shvisa and la chumra ve'iu sfir like Rabbanan lekula and they would hold like the Rabbanan lekula mishum desavar lekula man detani la chumra machayich alei? Just because you have an argument with somebody in halacha doesn't mean you smile and you like make fun of the other shita. Right? We have this elsewhere. We have this in the Masechta Shabbos. We had a line where Rav cursed somebody who said it at the other shita. The Gemara says, because you argue with somebody, you curse him? Right? So you laugh at him? No, you have a machlokas. So what is that? So what was he upset about? So Ella Mishum Detanya, maybe this is why he wasn't happy even with the other shita. Detanya, we had this already. Naharos Amoshkin, Umayinos Anovin, water that is not stagnant, water that is moving when Shabbos starts, Harein Karagli Kaladam. The Brisa says, any water that's moving is not Kodesh Visa. So that's why, remember we mentioned this when we spoke about the rain. The water and the cloud, it's always moving. That's why maybe it's not Kona Shvisa, and therefore there's no lot in Muksa when it comes to rain on Shabbos. So anything that's moving is not Kona. Maybe that's why he said, this water that's in the area in between the Tchumin, isn't it moving? So therefore, it's not Kona at all. So what are you worried about? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'dilma b'mechunasin. So again, why was he laughing? Maybe we're talking about a case where it was stagnant water. B'mechunasin. It was stagnant. The Ritva says, this Dilma is Vadai. Yeah, this also once said, but sometimes the Gemara uses Dilma to mean Vada, meaning it's that must be the case. We're talking about a stagnant pool, and that's why it's Kona Shvisa. So again, why was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina so amused by this Brisa? So next try, Ela Mishum Diktani Tzarech Bechitza Shal Barzel Afziko. Maybe it's because of this Lasha. Oh, you need a metal Mechitza. You need a very strong Mechitza. Why? So what didn't he like about that? Why didn't the Brisa allow you to have a mechitza of reeds, meaning an inferior, low-level type of mechitza, to Aili Buhumaya? Why? Because there's worry that water is going to get through? Aili Buhumaya. So shall barzel nami Aili Buhumaya. So metal too. Why? You can have a totally closed-off mechitza, even of metal. Water is going to get through. Some water from the top, from below. You know, what do you think they have? They have like steel metal like we have today, like a big one slab. No, they probably put some pieces of metal together, so even metal's gonna get through. So how's that gonna help you? Oh, so maybe what the price of meant is that this is what you need, and it's impossible to have, and that's why it's just usser. So you're right, the price is agreeing. So again, why was he laughing? Ela Mishum, final suggestion. Dekalu shikilu chachamim b'mayim. As we've had before, no. He was saying this because the Chachamim already said you have kulas when it comes to a mechitza over water. We've said that, says the Gemara. Kid Rebbe Tavla, Dabai Minei Rebbe Tavla Me Rav. Rebbe Tavla asked from Rav, mechitza tluya, ma'usha tatir b'churva. Are you allowed to use a hanging mechitza? Are you allowed to use a hanging mechitza over a churva? A churva is a dilapidated building, a bunch of the walls fell down. If you still have one of the walls, doesn't reach the ground. It's not even lovud, because lovud wouldn't be a problem, right? It's not even within three tvachim. So are you allowed to use a mechitza tluya? And Amar Le and Rav answered, in mechitza tluya, materes el b'mayim, only by water. Only over water. Like this type of case, we had the cases earlier that you have water in between two chatzeros. You build a wall that goes straight across, not into the water, but it's imaginary. And that is good enough. And kalu shikilu chacham b'mayim. And we were makel when it comes to water. We discussed in the Ritva back in Masecha Shabbos, is this because that usually a mechitza is ruined if animals could get through underneath? Bekias gedim is shma bekia, and bekias dugim is lo shme bekia? Is it because, you know, fish going through doesn't bother us? Or the Ritva said, no, fundamentally, it's impossible. So it's all Durabanan anyway, so the Chacham said you can rely on this. You can be maker when it comes to water because you don't have much choice. So that was what he was bothered by the price of that. What you need, a mechitza shel barzel, you have a mechitza tluya. We have Rav already said mechitza tluya is okay, and therefore I don't know why you have to demand such a serious mechitza in this section. Good. It's an interesting question that is asked by, I thought, Shane the Sholem Eshiv, Rav Natan's son, and that is, based on Rishonim, why in this case of the water, why don't you say Brera? Remember we had about 10 blot ago? Brera. What's Brera? Remember Brera? When you split something up, so then maybe after you split it up, you can already see the roots of that splitting up in the past. When brothers split up a Yerusha. So what the halacha discusses, when brothers split up Yerusha, do we say, this was always the portion that was earmarked, that was designated for this brother, and you can already consider it and see the roots of this chalukah last week before they split it up? Yesh brera, or do you say ein brera? But if you say yesh brera, what do we say according to many poskim, and the Gemara was even machalik this way, that many poskim, that we hold ein brera by dinim d'oraisa, and yesh brera by dinim d'rabanan. So here, what are we talking about? We're talking about an issue d'rabanan, according to most. Tchum of 2,000 amos is d'rabanan, according to almost everybody, except Rabbi Akiva. So why don't you say brera in this context? So there is an important rivet. The rivet says, quoted in the Rashba earlier, on Daf Mem Hey of a base, the rivet says, there's no brera when it comes to a devar hefker. There's no brera. There can be brera when it comes to an estate. There's an estate, right? The old man, the patriarch, passed away, and now they're splitting up his estate, so there could be a sheet about Brera, but not by Hefker. By picking something up from Hefker, you wouldn't say Brera. That's the Rivid's Chiddush. Delo Amru, she karagli amamale mitam Brera. Delo shayach Brera, b'mash adam zoche b'omana Hefker. Ela b'chalukas hashutfin v'chayotze bazeh. Question is, what's the svara for that Rivid? Right, and that's why here, it's Hefker, it's in the middle of the water source in between the two cities, so the two Tchumen, so therefore there is no Breyer. Why would you say that? So again, maybe it's partly, how do you look at Hefker? Right, a big sugya that we've touched on a long time ago, when something is Dvar Hefker, how do we look at that in Halacha? Is there a Rishus called Rishus Hefker? Just like there's, let's say, Rishus Hektish. There's Rishus Hefker, Rishus of the Beis HaMikdash, the Rishus of the public. That's a separate entity. Rishus Hefker, if I'm Mothker something, I'm Mothker to the Rishus Hektish. Or is Hefker a lack of Rishus? It's just a vacuum. Hektish is Hektish. But Hefker, if it's ownerless, that's what we call it. We call it ownerless. Right? It doesn't have an owner. If something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, we don't call it ownerless. We say it has a bialim. The Beis HaMikdash is the bialim. But do we say that Tzibur is the bialim? So maybe Hektish we have to look at. It's a lack of bialis. It's a lack of ownership. Maybe that's what Hektish looks like. Or maybe that's how you view Hefker. Or another way to view Hefker, let's go through all the sugyas of Hefker and Shas. Maybe Hefker is, it's about the potential of whoever's going to pick it up. And whoever picks it up, it's already backwards in time. I can already view that he picked it up. Or do I say the opposite? Maybe Hefker belongs to the person who was mafker it until the other person. There's just a schus lekicha by anyone who picks it up. That's a language of some achronim. The Ksos discusses that. Maybe Hefker means it's yours still until somebody picks it up illegally, but you're giving everybody a schus lekicha that you're allowed to take it. So how do you look at Hefker? So maybe that's influences what the Ravid's saying. If you say that Hefker is more of a lack of, then maybe you would say Brera there. Fill in the blank. Nobody owns it. It's a lack of. So then maybe it's Brera should work. Maybe. If you say, like the last formulation I just said, that maybe it's really the original owners until you pick it up, then maybe you should say Brera too, just like you say Brera by from the estate. But if you say it's the Rishus Hefker, like the first approach, there is a Rishus, just like there's a Rishus Hektish, there's something called a Rishus Bifnei Atzmo. This is suggested by some of the Achronim, the Primosha and others. So then maybe you would say, you can't say Brera, you can't go back into that Rishus Hefker. Rishus Hefker, boom, that is a Rishus that is not Brera-able, if we could make up that word. You can't go back. So therefore, that Rivid could play a role in how we review Hefker. Just one more note, we discussed in the past, Hefker, you always have to ask two questions. One we just dealt with. What is Hefker? What is the Rishus of Hefker? The other question to ask is the mechanism when I am Mafkir. Those two might not always go together. When I'm Mafkir something, what am I doing? Am I actively doing something? Am I being machane just like I could give you something? I could give Hefker something? I could give it to the no man's land? Or is Hefker looked at more as a removal of myself? I am removing myself in the mail of the item is here. So I'm being mesalik myself. That's the big discussion of the Achronim too. Is it a hakana or is it a silik? A big nafkamina might be. Could ketanim? Could a katan be zocha? We know if a child finds something on the floor, he's not zocha daraisa. On a daraisa level, I could go and grab it out of the katan's hand. Gemara says, you know, it's tikkun olam, you know, that's not really right. An 11-year-old found a gold watch on the floor. Oh, daraisa, you can't own anything. Thank you very much. Boom, and you grab it. That's not really right. So, tikkun olam, we say you're not allowed to do that. But on a daraisa level, he can't. But many Bali Tosas hold, das acheres makne, if somebody could give it to a katan, so then he can own a daraisa. So the fact that hefker doesn't work means that it's not called das acheres makne. So again, these are all a number of issues that relates to what exactly is lahafkir. So it's two issues. What is hefker and what's lahafkir?
And Brera, does Brera work in a context where you tried to say, well, this is what the facts were?
Yeah, does Brera work depending what the facts were? Yeah, that's exactly what Brera is. No. We want to say something that becomes clarified at a later time. We're able to view that distinction already in the past.
No, but here you're taking water which may have been somewhere else.
It may be,
it's not like a situation where you have an inheritance, which is just sitting there and we don't
know. Okay, so you're saying this was somewhere else and now you want it to be this person's. But it's a mixture. You don't know. It's all unclear. It's in a pot. You might say it's different because it's moving.
Exactly.
Okay, there might be another answer. Maybe you can't say Brera here because it's moving and you can't put your finger on it when Shabbos started. The essentially the question is that no, it's all mixed up. And when I pick it up, I can say this was always mine when Shabbos started.
I have to review
all the Brera cases to see if there's any other cases like this that are unclear. Okay, what are the cases earlier in this Masechta? If the Chacham comes from the east, I want to go to the east. If he comes from the west, I want to go to the west. So I don't know, but it's, you know, I'm being Konish Visa now, depending on what happens. And that's not clear.
But here you're talking about the actual item.
But here it's totally on, you know, that Tanai, which is also unclear. Okay, I hear the Chiluk. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, two dots. Here we go. Says the Gemara, Rebbe, V'chachamim omrim ein lo ela dalet amos. The Chachamim say, lo yalad is dalet amos. This is going back, review for a minute, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey Amar Aleph. Remember, the Mishnah said, if somebody's sleeping when Shabbos started, Rabbi Yochanan Menuri said, you have 2,000 amos. The Chachamim say, you only have 4 amos. Because the Chachamim say, you're sleeping, you aren't going to Shvi, so you only have 4. Rabbi Elazar said, you're in the middle of those 4 amos. But Rabbi Yehuda said, and you could go into whatever direction you want, you got 4 amos. So Rabbi Yehuda, Shita 2 sounds like Shita 4. The Chacham say you have 4 amos, and Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, you can go to whatever direction you want. So what's the difference? Rabbi Yehuda ayinu tana kama. What's the difference between those two opinions? Amarava, shmona al shmona ikibinayu. The question is, do you have a square of 8 or a square of 4? Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that you only have a square, you can go 4 amos. Rabbanan hold that you have 4 in all directions. Meaning you're in the middle of a square where you can go 4 in any direction, which means you have a square of 8 amos altogether. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you got to pick one. You could go only 4. Tani nami hachi, yesh lo shmona al shmona, divrei Rabbi Meir. So Meir's Mekel, like that's the anonymous chachamim in our Mishnah. Period. V'yama Rava, and also machlokes lahalech. The machlokes between them is only between Rabbi Meir, whether you have 4 and or 8, is only how far you have to walk. Avalataltel devri akol arba amos in tfeilo. But to be metaltel and to take something, that's for sure only 4. For sure only 4 carrying dalet amos. Period. Vahani dalet amos eicha ksiva. These 4 amos, where is it written? What does that mean? That's a big question. So on the surface, at least this question means the 4 amos that we know everybody in life has. If you're stuck somewhere, you have 4 amos. You have 4 amos if you go outside your tchum. If you're in the middle, if you don't have a tchum, according to the Chachamim that said you were sleeping, you only have 4 amos. Is there a remez to this? Is there a remez to this anywhere? 4 amos. That is the simple question of the Gemara. The Rambam understands this in a much deeper level. The Rambam says this question is also asking, is there a remez somewhere in the Torah that we learn about the concept of 4 amos of Rishus HaRabim? The Issa D'Oraisa of carrying Dalet Amos of Rishus HaRabim. The Rambam seems to understand this line like that too. Not only in the Durabanan context of a Tchum, but even D'Oraisa. The Rambam, well, let's read the Gemara and then we'll read the Rambam. So says the Gemara, even though most shiurim we know are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, but the Gemara here is asking, what about this one? Hey chaksiva. So kiditanya. The Brisa says shvu ish tachtav, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, stay here. Shvu ish tachtav, kid tachtav, like tachtav, like under you. So that's what we say. Shvu ish, sit here. Tachtav, kid tachtav. The kama tachtav, how much is under an average person? Gufo, if a person lies down, how long is a person when he lies down? Gufo shalosh amos. When he lies down, he is 3 amos long. How much is 3 amos? Right. So between 1.5. Every amos is 1.5 to 2 feet. Right. So right. 6 feet would be the tallest, and less than that, 4.5 to 6 feet, something like that. And the ama kdei lipsha yadav ragla, then you add on an ama to stretch out. So that's 4 amos. That's what it says. Shvu ish tachtav, shvu kit tachtav. You can sit and go anywhere like under you. When you lie down and you stretch out, so that is 4 amos. That's divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a little different. Gufo shalosh amos. Va'ama kedei sheyito chefes mitachas margalosav umeniach tachas marashosav. And an ama, Rabbi Yehuda says, your guf is 3 amos. I'll agree with that. And then you have an extra ama to take something from, let's say, that's under your head and put it by your feet, meaning to move an object that's on one side of you to another side of you. You also have an amma extra there. So these should be 4 amos. My benayo, what's the machlokas here? To numer and Yehuda, iki benayo 4 amos mitzum samos. How medatic, how narrow are your 4 amos, mitzum samos? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's very mitzum sam, something that's right next to your head, you know, you're allowed to put under. According to Rabbi Meir, you have a little more flexibility because it's about your stretching. So that is the 4 amos that we are talking about. So if you look at the Rambam, so again, simple reading, this is talking about Tchum, that's the context of our Gemara. If you look at the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam says, Mutter la adam letaltel berushas arabim betoch dalet amos al dalet amos. Shuho me betzidan. This is a Daraisa context, as we learned in Shabbos. The Isser of carrying Dalet Amos in Rishus Arabim. The Rambam says you're allowed to. Mutter. It's not even Asa Darabanan. You're allowed to move something within a Dalet Amos radius in Rishus Arabim. V'yesh lo v'talto b'chol ha-meruba hazeh. Or not even a radius, not even a circle, a square. So you're maschir the Zavio. So you even get the corners.
Uba.
What if you go on a diagonal, then you have even more. Right, so we paskin that lakula. If it's diagonal, it's even more. So I don't know how do you draw the square? I don't know which, because any direction could be your diagonal. So I'm not exactly sure. V'imhaya, I don't know if you have to know, go exactly north, south, east, west. V'imhaya, okay, we'll get to the next line in a minute. Umi pi kabbala amru, shezeh shenemar batorah, shvu ish tachtav, shelo yitaltel chutz lemruba zeh, ela bimruba zeh shu kemidas orech adam, kishiyivsho yadav ragla bo bilvad, yesh lo yitaltel. So he quotes our Gemara in a Daraisa context. That's a very important reading of our Gemara. It's not just in the Darabanan Tchum world, but in the Daraisa world. The simple understanding of other Gemaras is that it's a Darabanan. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, for example, Kinyan Dalet Amos. Let's say I'm walking in the street, I see something on the ground, and I'm about to pick it up, and I have Kavanah to pick it up. And right before I bend down to pick it up, you swoop in and grab it under my nose. So that's stealing Darabanan. Why is it stealing Darabanan? The Gemara says, in Baba Metzia, on Dav Yud Amar Aleph, Amar Eish Lakish. Right, first the Mishnah says, Ra'as HaMetzia, if I see a lost item on the ground, if I have Kavana to be coned only by falling on it and picking it up, so then before I get it, somebody can swoop down. But if I look at it and have Kavana, I'm like, that's mine. I have Kavana to do that, right, so then it's Kona. So Amar Eish Lakish, Bishum Abba Koin Bardala, Arba Amo Shel Adam, Kono Slo B'chol Makom. My taima takinu rabbanan delo asi leinsuye chachamim were misaken it kinyan dalet amos. The Pnei Yoshua in Maseches Gittin notes kinyan dalet amos even works for get. If a man throws his wife a get and it's within dalet amos, it works. So the Pnei Yoshua is very bothered. Could a kinyan derabbanan work for a get d'oraisa? Right? Could that work? Could you be makin it derabbanan? So many poskim say yes. Once the Rabbanan enacted a mechanism to Rabbanan, but that has Daraisa connotations. That is Daraisa. You're allowed to. You're allowed to do that. But that the Pesach was so bothered, he says maybe Kinyan Dalet Amos is Daraisa in certain contexts. But Pashas is that it's a Darabanan concept, but the Rambam here uses it on a Daraisa level as well. This pasuk, and then we'll just continue. This pasuk, the Tur writes, Shvu ish tachtav, was said by Moshe Rabbeinu to those who went outside the Tchum. Shvu ish tachtav. Right? What do you mean? They were in the Machaneh. They have 2,000 amos in the Machaneh. So the Torah writes here in Shin Sadik Vav, Shari Moshe Amar Zelo Osen Sheyatsu Chutz Fatchum, Shvu Ish Tachtav. V'kra hachi perusho. Shvu ish tachtav lo'osen shiyatsu lachutz. V'al yetze yishmim komo lo'osen shelo yatsu adayin lo'kot. Right, talking about the mon. Okay, let's continue. So, the Gemara says, this is the shir dalan amos. Amale rav misharshi lebre, ki ailus lakami de rav papa, when you go in front of rav papa, boimine, ask him the following question. Arba amos sha'amru. When we're talking about this, arba amos. And the shear is when somebody lies down and stretching himself. Ba'ama di deyavinan le? Do we go by his own personal dalan amos? How tall he is? An ama is from the tip of the middle finger all the way to the elbow. So does it go by whoever you are? You know, if you're a bigger guy, you have a bigger ama. Smaller guy, smaller. O ba'ama shel kodesh yavinan le? Or do you go by an objective shear, an amma that was used in the Kodesh Kadashim, measuring, so there was a certain, drawing that was put in one of the places called Shushan Abira, the Gemara says in Psachim, Rashi quotes it, that was measured of an amma, and he went by Moshe Rabbeinu, so is it objectified? Im amar lecha amo shel kodesh yavid alei, and if you say it's objectified, then Og melech habashon matahei alav, if you have a huge person like Og, so what's he supposed to do? He can't even fit into that space. Of lying down. And if you want to say it's personal, so then emalei my time aloktani gabe. And if it's personal, why isn't it in the Mishnah in Kalim, which lists off all the shiurim that are personalized? Gabe yesha amra kolofi mashahu adam. Write that Mishnah. Rashi quotes the rest of the Mishnah. You go by how much kmitza when a kohen does the carbon mincha, and he has the flour under his three middle fingers. So how much do you have to burn of the kmitza? Depends on the kohen size. When the kohen gadol gives a certain amount of ktores, or not just the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, but any kohen who's picked, right, to do the ktores, he uses a fistful. So how much is a fistful? Oh, whatever his fist size is. So it's very personalized. So ask Rav Papa, if this is also personalized, this should be in that Mishnah. So kiyasa lakamidir Rav Papa, so when he came in front of Rav Papa, amar lei, I daikinan kulei hai, lo havitaninan. Well, you're really medactic. You're asking a very specific question. If you do this, you know, I'm not going to have answers to all your questions. But I have an answer to this question. La ola ba'ama didei yavinan lei. Really, you go, it is personalized. You go by ama didei. You ask, why isn't it listed in that Mishnah then in Kalim by all the personalized shiurim? Because there are exceptions to the rule. It's not something that is always true. There are exceptions. For example, Mishum t'ika nanas be'evarav. What if you have a big guy and he has very small limbs? Right, some type of mutation. He has very small limbs. He's a very big guy. So in that case, we would allow him to go by the average ama. He wouldn't have to go by, he has midget arms. He wouldn't have to go by the midget arms. He'd be able to go. So therefore you see there are exceptions to the rule, and that's why it's not listed there in the Mishnah. Again, an ama lamaisa is a machlokes aposkin. What's an ama? Rav Chaim Noah has the smallest ama. He has ama is 18.9 inches, right, just above a foot and a half. And the Chazon Ish has 24. The Chazon Ish always says, has an amma is 2 feet, 24 inches. The other poskim, Rav Moshe, thinks it's about 21 to 23 inches, somewhere in the middle. But it's basically 1.5 to 2 feet. That's the shear for one amma. And Dalet Amos, obviously, is four times that. Period. Whenever Og Melech HaBashan comes up, it's interesting, talk about Og for a minute. He's always the example given in the Gemara of, you know, what do you do about a giant? He is one of the most mysterious characters in all of Tanakh. He always appears when you don't expect him. Vayavoa palit, ah, it's Og, right? Or he's hanging on the outside of the teva. You know, what's that about? So Rabbi Simon in his Sefer Imrei Baruch on Parshas Lech Lecha has a beautiful piece in the name of Rav Zadel Epstein where he talks about in the context of Noah. He says, Mimanafshach, was Og zocha to be saved or not zocha to be saved? If he's zocha to be saved, put him on the teva. If he's not zocha to be saved, what? His mouth? His face is on the teva, sticking in, and his body is boiling in the hot water. Right, so Mimanafshach. So he explains that Og had a little midah of chesed to him. Right, a little bit. It was really shalol lishma. Right, he came back to tell Avraham that, oh, your nephew was captured. So he did a little chesed. His kavana was that Avram should die. Okay, fine. He had bad kavana. So the chesed didn't affect who he was, but he said it. So because he did chesed with his mouth, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, your mouth could be on the teva, but not your body. Didn't affect you. So that's why Og's mouth gets to be on the teva, but not him. But for that little mida tova, he lived for hundreds of years. He lived alive in the time of Noach, and he was alive in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Unbelievable. He lived for years. And why is he called Og? What's an Og? What's an Uga? Og is a dough. It's dough. It's not finished. It's not made. It's like you have the ingredients there, but it's not baked. It's a little half-baked. We say something is half-baked. It's not done. It's just a phrase we used. But that's an Uga. That's a dough. That was Og. He had a little few ingredients, but it didn't bake him. Right? It didn't affect him. It didn't change who he was. And that's the that's Og, whenever we could think. Ugos Pesach, right? It's not it's not baked yet, it's not completed yet. Either way, that's Og. Again, an interesting figure. You know, we have a lot of Gemaras about Og. The end of Maseches Brachos has the great story about holding the mountain over his head, and fell on his neck, and his teeth shot out, and he couldn't get it off. Okay, a lot to talk about. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara two dots. Hayu shnayim mixas amosav shozev echolu. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you remember, you have three people. The one in the middle, his tchum is overlapping with the outer two, but the outer two are not overlapping with the middle one. So, and then the Reb Shimon gives a mashal. This is just like three chatzers next to each other. And the two outer chatzeros made an Erev with the middle one, but not the outer ones did not make an Erev with each other. So, lamale lameimar lamadar adome. What did that mashal add? Reb Shimon says, this is just like the chatzer case. So usually when something's in a Mishnah, it's got to teach me something. It's the exact same case. Three people, three chatzeros. What's that adding? So hachi kamar lehu Reb Shimon l'Rabbanan. No, there's something deeper. There's a machlokas going on here. Reb Shimon is saying to them as follows. Michti, lama davar dome. What is this case like? L'shalosh chatzeros ha-psuchos l'zu, psuchos l'rishos ha-rabim. It's just like the chatzer case. So Reb Shimon is really implicitly asking them. Maishna hasam. In tomorrow's blot on Daf Memtes, to Pligisu, the Chachamim there are going to argue in the Chatzer case. If you have three Chatzers, only the outer two of them made an Eruv with the middle one, you're not going to be able to carry. You're not going to be able to take things into the middle one. So why, by the Chatzer case, do you argue? Umayshna Hachadol Pligisu, and here you don't. Reb Shimon is saying this is just like the Chatzer case. People, individuals, and public, same thing. So why do you argue in the public case? For Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would have to answer implicitly, no, Hasam Avshi Diurin. Over there in the Chatzar case, there are a lot of people. A lot of people, you got to have more precautions. There are a lot of people. What, they're going to know that you can only go into the middle one and not into the next one. So you got to have more precautions. Hachalo Avshi Diurin. But here there's not so many. It's three people you're talking about altogether. So therefore, we're not as worried. Period. So really there's a machlokas going on, even though it doesn't sound that way from our Mishnah. But what's the halacha? Reb Shimon says, the two outer ones are allowed to carry in the middle one, but not go to the other side. So the Gemara says, now, V'yamai, why isn't it mutter? Think about it. Kivan da'arvi luhu chitzonos bahadi emsois havi luhu chada. Let's think about it. You have going from left to right. You have one, two, three. So let's say chatzar number one makes an Eruv with chatzar number two in the middle. That happened at 12 p.m. at noon on Friday. Right now, stop time, they're one big happy family now. Because they made an Eruv chatzaris amongst each other. So now, when chatzar two goes to make an Eruv with chatzar three, why aren't they all now all one big happy family? Once Eruv one and two, right, made one. So why can't one be connected to three now? One and two are, right, they're machatonim. Right, so why can't they go to Chatzar 3? That's the question. Havilu Chada. So, two answers given. Rav Yehuda the Amora, and Rav Sheshes. Answer number one. Amar Rav Yehuda, kigon she not nitna em sa'is eruva bezu. The problem is that when one and two made the Erev, where'd they put the matzahs? They put it in Chatzar 1. If they had put it in Chatzar 2 in the middle, and then Chatzar 2 goes to Chatzar 3 and makes an Erev, that would be great. But because they put it in Chatzar 1, so Chatzar 2 really is the went into Chatzar 1, and not vice versa, and that's why Rav Yehuda says it doesn't work. Rav Sheshes Amar Afilu Tema Shenitnu Eruvan Be'emsa Is. Even if they put it in the middle, there's a problem. Why? Kigon Shenasnuhu Bishnei Batim. They put the two Erevs into two different houses in the middle yard. If they would have put it into one big house, you could say, okay, one big happy family, all three Chatzeros. They put it into two different houses, so they're kind of megala that they're not one group. Says the Gemara, Kiman, Kebeshamai. What? This is like Beshama? This mission is reflecting Beshamai Shita? Titania, because the Brisa says on Tamara's daf, Chamisha Shagavu Esei Ruvan, Venasnehu Bishnei Kelim. Let's say five people, five houses in the yard, and they all gave some bread. And they put it into Nasnu Bishnei Kelim. But they put it into two different Kelim. Beshamai Omrim Ein Eruvan Erev. It doesn't work. You got to put it into one kli. Ubeis Hill Omer may Ruvan Erev. Beis Hill says it does work. So is our Mishnah reflecting Beis Shammai Shita? We'd rather not have that. Maybe we'll review that again, why it's so bad. But we don't want to have that, right? So our Mishnah is saying it's in two different houses. So is that reflecting Beis Shammai Shita? The Gemara says no. I feel the same Beis Hillel. No. It could be even be Beis Hillel Shita. Ad kan lo kamri Beis Hillel Hasam. When did Beis Hillel say that it's a problem? Ela Bishnei Kelim Bebayis Echad. No, when did Beis Hillel say over there, I'm sorry, when did he say that it's okay, that if it's in one house with two kelim, as long as it's in one house, it's okay. Beis Hillel would agree. Aval b'shnei batim lo, but Beis Hillel would agree that it's a problem in two different houses, right? That's too much of a hefsek, right? You could live in the same house in two kelim. You can't live in two houses. So therefore, Beis Hillel would agree. So our Mishnah is not limited to Beis Shammai. It could even be according to Beis Hillel. We've mentioned in the past that Beis Shammai, different than other Shitas Techuyah. Sometimes the Gemara will say, is this only like Rav Shimon? Is this only like... And sometimes the Gemara will say, yes. But Beis Shammai, we'd rather really not like to have any anonymous Mishnah go like, because for one of two reasons. It is a more of a Shita Techuyah than any other Shita Techuyah. Why? Two reasons. Number one, it's the only one that a Basco went out and said, we don't Paskin like it. Now we're familiar with that, right? A month ago, Daf Yud Gimel, earlier, Yud Gimel Mevez. Remember, the Basco went out, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, but the Halacha is like Beis Hillel, because they are humble, and they study Beis Shammai's Pshat also, but a Basco went against Beis Shammai. That's number one. Number two, the Mesulas Yesharim writes in Perachaf, it's more dangerous to allow Beis Shammai to be Paskin-like by some, because they're a group. It's not just like one Das Yachid. One Das Yachid against everybody else, okay, but Beis Shammai is a whole group. And if you don't make stand firm against another group, then there could be a splintering of the religion. There's already, even though we don't pass on like Beis Shammai at all. But still, it is something that we have to be even more cognizant of, because we have to make sure, Shelo Ya'asu Kishtei Torah. Right, the Gemara says in Brachas, Naf Yud Aleph. Right, if you go like Beis Shammai, there are three different days. Either it's okay, or Rabbi Tarfon said Chayiv Misa. Use that strong lashon. So again, Beis Shammai is a shita that we don't want to have an anonymous Mishnah follow. Again, for Talmud Torah purposes, you know, it's the same Talmud Torah studying Beis Shammai shita and Beis Hillel shita. But in terms of normative practice, halacha, then we always try not to be following Beis Shammai at all. Period. Good. So Amalei Rav Acha, Bereid Rav Avi, Rav Ashi, Rav Yehuda Kasha, Rav Sheshes Kasha. We had two pshatim for the Mishnah. Why aren't they considered one big happy family? Rav Yehuda says because you put the Erev in the outer house, in the outer chatzer, and Rav Sheshes says because you put it into two different houses. So each one of those has a problem. So Rav Yehuda Kasha, what's Rav Yehuda's problem? Kasha Da Amar Kegon Shenasna Emsa Is Eruva Bazu Eruva Bazu, because he said that you put the middle one, put the Erev in the two outer ones. But one second, Vekivan De Erva Emsa Is Bahadi Chitzona Havi Lechada. But I don't understand. Once again, when Chatzer 1 makes an Erev with Chatzer 2, now they're one big happy family. Even if you put it into the outer one, V'chihadra v'arva b'hadi idach shlichus avda. But they're still one big happy family. So when Erev 2, when Chatzer 2 goes, aren't they acting on behalf of Chatzer 1? Doesn't matter if it was put in where it was put, in Chatzer 1. They're acting on behalf. Aren't they shlichim? So why shouldn't it work? Why shouldn't all the Erevs, all the Chatzers be able to carry it within each other's Chatzer? That's the problem with Rav Yehuda Shita. It should all be Mutter. And he has the opposite question on Rav Sheshes. Ula Rav Sheshes Kasha, why? Tevi, Kichamisha Sheshruyim, Bechatzer Achas, V'Shachar Achas, Echad Me'em V'lo Erev. The Asri Ahadadi, according to Sheshes, they shouldn't even be able to carry in the middle Chatzar. Why? Because what happened? Chatzar 1 again made a Erev with Chatzar 2. Good. One big happy family. But now, Chatzar 2 goes makes an Erev with Chatzar 3, but Chatzar 1, we're saying, is not part of this. But Chatzar 1 has rights in Chatzar 2. So how could anybody carry in Chatzar 2 now? Because Chatzar 1, the minute you say Chatzar 1 is not part of this, so then their rights in Chatzar 2 should create problems for members of Chatzar 2 and 3. So, according to Rav Yehuda, it should all be mutter. According to Rav Sheshes, it should all be aser. That's the problem that Rav Acha, brother Rav Avya, has. Amalei Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, I'll answer both questions. Lola Rav Yehuda kasha, v'lola Rav Sheshes kasha. I could answer both questions. First, the Rav Yehuda lo kasha. What was your question on Rav Yehuda? Why aren't they acting on their behalf? Kivan de irva la emtsa is bahadi chitzona. Vishtayim chitzoni is bahadi adadi lo irvu. No. Says the Gemara, since the two outer ones made a pact, made an Erev with the middle one, and they specifically did not make an Erev with each other, so Galya Daite de Bahanichale Bahalonichale. That's a Gilui Das. That's a revealing of their minds that they don't want this Erev. When do you say Shlichus and even Zachal Adam Shlobafanov? If all things are being equal, and you don't know one way or the other, you could assume that this would be, you would want to do this. But here, why didn't the two outer Chatzeres get together? They could have, they didn't. That's a Reyesa. So that reflects that they don't want to be together. And that's why it's not all Mutter. That's Rav Ashi's answer for number one. Ula Rav Sheshes lo kasha. And what about Rav Sheshes? Im Amru diurin lahakel, yomru diurin lahachmir. Rhetorical question? Rav Sheshes says the fact that they have rights in this chatzer only is lakula. Meaning they made an Eruv in order to help themselves out. Now you're going to tell me, well, once they have the rights, they're going to answer for the other? That can't be. Once they have the rights, they only did that lahakel and not lahakmir, period. Just one final point and then we'll stop. And that is, here the Gemara says that sometimes you don't even have to have words. Actions could create a gilui da'as in order for something to be halachically effective. We have that concept elsewhere. We usually have the concept called dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. If I'm thinking something, let's say I sell you something. In my mind, I think I only want the sale to take place if it rains tomorrow. That's what I'm thinking. I do the sale, and then it doesn't rain tomorrow, and I come back and I'm like, you know, please give it back. I had that in mind. So halachically we say, tough luck. Dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. But once in a while, we have something that's called Dvarim Shebelev Ubelev Kal Adam. Something that is so obvious that even if you don't say anything, we say it as if you said it. So Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin, if somebody is on his deathbed and he does not think he has any children, he gives away all of his possessions to a friend. Everything. And then right before he dies, right then, his long lost son comes and says, Dad, I'm here. So what do we say? He didn't make a condition when he gave away all his stuff. Well, if my son comes back, so then he didn't know. But that's Dvarim Shebelev Ubelev Kal Adam. Then you have a middle approach. The middle cases, where it's kind of clear, but it's not 100% clear. So then we might require something, but we might not require full, what's called Tanai Kafel. You don't require double, all the rules and regulations of conditions. Let's say somebody sells all of their stuff in Chutz La'aretz because they're making Aliyah. And then it doesn't work out. That's not as clear as giving away all your possessions before the person dies. So Gemara there says, there you might need something. Gilui Das. So every case is different. But here the Gemara is assuming that because they didn't make a pact, the two outer chatzeros, so then, Mistama, they do not want to have a pact between them, and therefore, we don't say that one is acting b'shlichus of the other one. Okay, we'll stop here. But Hashem, we will continue with Daf Memtes tomorrow. Everybody have a good day.